Hey friends, as a church leader, you know that your ability to execute your vision comes down to staffing, facilities, and programming. All three of those things are fueled by one thing. That is generosity. Generosity is the fuel that drives your ministry engine. We are always trying to learn how to grow and create cultures of generosity that help fuel the vision. I want to introduce you to my friends over at The Giving Church, a brand new sponsor here at Unseminary, and they really do want to help. I love these guys, and you should lean in with them. Visit thegivingchurch.com/unseminary for a free PDF. It's 5 ways to grow your church giving. The Giving Church, led by generosity coach, founder, and just amazing guy, Phil Ling, has worked with nearly 1,000 churches of all sizes, including the size of your church, in 40 different denominations and raised over $1 billion to fuel incredible ministry. Don't run out of fuel for your ministry. Visit thegivingchurch.com/unseminary today for your free PDF, 5 ways to grow your church giving. Again, that's thegivingchurch.com/unseminary today.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to inform and inspire your leadership? Do you have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of other leaders in pursuit of stuff you wish they taught in seminary. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast, presented by CDF Capital, helping churches grow. Visit them at cdf.capital/unseminary.
Hey friends, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you have decided to tune in. Every week we try to bring you a leader who will both inspire and equip you. And I'm really excited to have Ted Canaris with us today. He is from Community Christian Church. They are a multi-site church in Illinois. If you do not know them, I don't know where you've been. If I'm counting right, 7 physical locations, although they always seem they're launching another one, micro churches, online space, community freedom locations at correctional institutions and treatment centers in the area. Ted is the lead pastor apprentice at Community Christian. He has been a campus pastor in one of their locations, but is in the midst of a transition. I'm looking forward to today's conversation because we're catching a story as it's happening. So really looking forward to this, Ted. Welcome to the show. So glad you're here.
Oh, so glad to be here, Rich. Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you tell us, kind of fill out the picture a little bit about Community? You know, that was just kind of the standard boilerplate stuff. Give us kind of the passion. If we were to come this weekend, what would we experience? Fill in the picture there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you could really say so much about the legacy of our church over the last 35 years, but the unifying thread that ties it all together and really still is going to be pointing us towards our future is our mission, which is helping people find their way back to God. I mean, from the very first day that Dave and John Ferguson founded this church, that was the unifying passion. It's still our unifying passion today. And as we're in the midst of this transition, you know, part of my stewardship is stewarding that mission into the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my heartbeat. That's Dave's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. That's the heartbeat of our future as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the big idea that ties us all together. But I think you pretty much covered, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're an entrepreneurial kind of church. We love doing whatever we can to help people find their way back to God. So that's starting churches in prisons. Yep, we're in. That's starting nice. Micro churches all around the world. We're in, you know, we'll do whatever it takes. And we kind of joke sometimes, like we're willing to be the first person to like kick through the door. And then we expect people to come in behind us and do it a whole lot better than we're doing it.
But that's
been the model for the 35 years. One of the first churches to go multi-site.
Yep.
I think one of the first churches to leverage the micro expression in the way that we're doing it. And, you know, that's a fun part of being here.
Yeah. The Community Christian is a vanguard, a teaching hospital kind of church place that you're taking the hits and making stuff up. And then the rest of us are, are benefiting from that. And that continues. I would say that continues with this current transition that you find yourself in. Like, this is one of those areas where I think a lot of our churches are looking at and trying to figure out, okay, how do we pass this on to the next generation? So talk to me about kind of your connection kind of up to this point where you were ended up being identified as the lead pastor apprentice with Community Christian. How did that work? Where'd you come from? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different places to start the story, but just for sake of time, I was at a large church in Chicago area. not so far from our community locations, maybe 45 mm-hmm. minutes away. Mm-hmm. And God had really been doing so much through our time there in all kinds of different roles. It was like executive pastor, teaching pastor kind of role there. And we started having this really uncomfortable nudge from the Holy Spirit that maybe we should plant a church. And of course, with great faith, we said, no, we don't want to do that.
And like a good multiplying leader, I said no.
And yes, and I heard from the Lord and said, no, thank you. Yes. But we were at least willing to explore it a little bit. You know, we felt that we're like, okay, let's go to this conference we had heard about called Exponential. And so actually it was like 10 years ago, my wife and I went to an Exponential conference in Orlando. Truthfully, like the most engaged I could tell you was half-heartedly sort of exploring the idea of planting with this seed that the Lord had planted. And I remember in the first session, I leaned over to Melissa because Dave Ferguson and John lead Exponential. If you're not familiar with what it is, it's the largest global gathering of church planters. And if you are at all interested in that, you should definitely go stop what you're doing right now and register for Exponential next year in Orlando. It's an incredible spirit moved experience. And I was like, you know, hey, these guys are in Naperville. Did you know that? And she's like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should reach out and talk to them sometime. And little did I know, about a year later, I'd be sitting at a table with John and Dave, connected through a mutual friend who is, you talk about community being kind of like a teaching hospital. My friend, John Peacock, who launched Mission Church, also in Illinois, he had done his residency at Community. And Community actually had helped launch Mission and sent about 100 of their people to go help start Mission, along with our number one giver to help launch that really well. So that's kind of our legacy. He's like, you know, you got to talk to Dave and John. So I ended up talking with them. And as we were exploring church plan, we were looking at the same community in Downers Grove, which is a suburb of Chicago here, and really came away from that conversation thinking to myself, the only reason I wouldn't plant with Dave and John as a part of Community is if it had to be about me. That is a horrible reason to plant a church. To make a name for yourself.
Yes.
And they're like who I wanted to be when I grow up. You know, I'm sitting with these guys. They're being so gracious and generous with me. Yeah. And I'd read some of their books and stuff. And I was like, man, I hope when I'm 60, I can be sitting around across the table from somebody like this and encouraging them in the way they're encouraging me. So long story short, we ended up planting. I planted one of our churches in Downers Grove 6 years ago. And God really blessed that. Amazing things have been happening there, still happening there. And then I started overseeing some of our locations, leading network is what we call it. And now I oversee all of our locations and expressions. So our physical locations, and then you mentioned our micro churches, our online church, and our churches in prisons, community freedom. And then Dave and I started talking about this next step, about apprenticing to become the next lead pastor of Community. So that's a story in a nutshell.
That's amazing. So the, you know, let's kind of zero in on the part of the story where, you know, Dave takes you out for lunch and is like, so what's your future? You know, God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. Like, what does that look like? How does he broach that conversation? What's going through your head? You know, obviously you're a humble leader. You're like, of course I'm the guy, but like, how does all that work? What's going on inside you when, you know, when that conversation's happening?
Well, first of all, I'll say a part of our culture that's really important is we are like a very relational culture. And so Dave and John are brothers. If you don't know Dave and John Ferguson, they are co-founding pastors of our church. Dave is the lead pastor. And I often will tell people that we've inherited, they're kind of like our family of origin as a church culture. And there's like a brotherly sort of vibe to our staff and our team and our church. Nobody's too big for their britches. You know, like if you start trying to act like some kind of big shot around your brother, you're going to get punched.
You're going to get it.
Nobody's too big here. And so Dave and I had a great relationship, have had a great relationship. And the way it started was just very natural. Asking me where I see myself. And frankly, replacing Dave or being the next lead pastor was not something I was really considering at the time. I was so focused on planting Downers Grove and seeing it flourish and reaching mm-hmm. the community that we live in and my neighbors mm-hmm. and friends and kids, families, friends, and all mm-hmm. that's about all I could think about. Mm-hmm. But as my ministry role expanded and thinking more globally about the church, I think the first time we had the conversation came on the heels of talking through some significant challenges that we're facing as a church. And at the end, and Dave is one of those leaders who's always just looking for everybody's perspective on it. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't mm-hmm. come in from on high with the one answer, you know, he yeah. wants to hear. Yeah. And I think after that conversation, he's like, you know, would you ever consider, you know, stepping into this role? Hmm. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I would consider it. You know,
yes. You yeah, know, honored to consider it. Consider it. Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we just kept meeting and talking about it and became more and more of a reality and then went through some of the formal steps and got to where we are here today.
Interesting. So then what does the process look like? Kind of where are you at in that process? You know, what have you learned so far? I know we were joking before we recorded. I was like, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Then 5 years from now, we'll follow up and hear everything was great. You know, here's the stuff yeah. we learned, but what kind of, where are you at now in the process? What's that look like? You know, help us mm-hmm. understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that's really fundamental to how we operate as a church is apprenticeship. You know, we are mm-hmm. always developing leaders, always developing people to be activated into the mission that the Lord has called them to, however they're called and equipped to help people find their way back to God. And so our Kid City leaders have apprentices. They're apprenticing mm-hmm. people in the role that they're in. Our small group leaders, our STUCO leaders, our mm-hmm. community freedom leaders, our community cares, our ministries out in the community. Mm-hmm. We always mm-hmm. want all of our leaders to be apprenticing somebody.
Yep.
From top to bottom. And so yep. that's like our operating system. And so yep. that's the most significant positions and the most, you know, small, minor positions you might think of in our community. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. that relational apprenticeship. And the way we've talked about apprenticeship is that it's 5 steps to apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And you could look this up or mm-hmm. read it in the book Exponential that Dave and John mm-hmm. wrote. But mm-hmm. step one is I do, you watch, we talk. Mm-hmm. Step two is I do, you help, we talk. And then it's you do, I help, we talk. And then you do, I watch, we talk. And then you do, someone else watches. And that's mm-hmm. the next apprentice, yeah. right? And those yeah. are the 5 steps of apprenticeship. And so we thought, what better way to go through this transition than to have an apprenticeship process where we mm-hmm. are visibly and publicly walking through these 5 steps in front of our church to mm-hmm. reinforce this value. Say, nobody's too big to be apprenticed. You know what I
yes,
mean?
Yes, yes,
we can
yes.
always learn and grow and develop. And so that's what we're doing. We're publicly walking through the 5 steps of apprenticeship in front of our church, which has just been awesome.
Wow. And what's the, you know, when you think about timeline, first of all, I love that framework. Obviously, that's the thing I love. We, you know, we've talked about this in other contexts where, you know, we talk to our people about, hey, everybody should have an apprentice. But then that seems to be not the case when it gets to the actual lead people. It's like, hey, all you people need to get apprentices. But the fact that you're structuring it that way, I think is fantastic. So kind of where are you at in that process? Is there a timeline or how are you, what are the benchmarks that you'll know kind of you're moving along? How are you talking about that internally?
Yeah, absolutely. So the finish line is May, mm-hmm. May 1st, 2025. So that's just over mm-hmm. a year away now. And we started about mm-hmm. 6 months ago in the public phase.
Yep.
And so we're in this, I do, you help, you do, I help transition. So mm-hmm. in between steps 2 and step 3 right now, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where there are parts of what I'm doing now, which is me doing and Dave helping.
Right.
And there are parts of what I'm doing right now that is Dave doing and me helping. Okay. And we're kind of transitioning more and more where I will be the primary doer and Dave will be a primary helper. Mm-hmm. So that's the transition. So Dave is going to be the lead pastor. He is the, mm-hmm. like in terms of clarity organizationally, he is the lead pastor until May, 2025.
Yep.
However, how we operate and how we function is these five steps of apprenticeship in terms of our day-to-day reality.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. I love the kind of clarity there around, hey, there is like a, there's a tripwire date that we're pushing towards, but then also we're following this process that there is a, it's a handoff. I like that. There's like a baton there. That's, you know, that's really good. What so far, good, bad, missing, confusing, what's been good? You know, what's been bad? Anything that you're like, oh, like, hey, this next time I do this, next time I transition into becoming a lead pastor, I'll do that differently. No, but what, what's kind of, what's your evaluation so far? What advice would you give to other leaders maybe who are listening in?
Yeah, great question. So much I could say. First of all, I hope I never do this again, right? My goal is to do this process.
Or on the other side. We'll be on the other side, right?
I'm deeply committed to being on the other side of this process in the future. Yeah. And I'm excited about that. But I'm sort of packing the coffin in this one. Like I don't see myself going anywhere else. Like I want to be committed here.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about what were the categories you used? Good.
Yeah. Hard, good, bad, missing, confusing. Yeah. Just like kind of general evaluation. What's, you know, kind of what's, what are you thinking so far?
Yeah. The good, I'll start with that.
Yeah. Yep.
This has felt inside and outside. When I say inside and outside, like between Dave and I, mm-hmm. and the inside and the outside, like our leadership and our church, incredibly healthy. And it really passes the smell test.
That's
like
good.
It just feels right. Like when we talk to people about, oh, this is what we're doing and this is the amount of time we're taking. Like we decided to take a significant amount of time because we just didn't feel like this is something that needed or should be hurried. Like, let's do this well. Let's take time.
Right.
Let's give people time to adjust. Mm-hmm. And I don't need that. Dave doesn't need that. Like it's felt super healthy. And if Dave were here, he would say the same thing. There hasn't been a point for either one of us where it's been like, ooh, is this the right thing to do?
Yeah, right.
It's just like felt natural,
right?
Healthy, really, really good. And I would say a lot of that is a credit to Dave's leadership and his humility. You were just going to ask a question.
Oh, well, I was going to ask that. So, I was a part of Kinexus Church in Canada, and you know, Carrie Newhoff handed off to Jeff Brody, both great leaders. And but I would say both of them have the humility that you're talking about. Like there's that they are, and I don't know how we get at that. How do we cultivate that with, you know, and maybe we can talk about this on the person coming into the role. How have you kind of been able to keep your ego in check, keep your, you know, is it close relationship with Jesus? Is that all it comes down to? Or is there anything that you've, you know, that's been helpful to keep your, you know, the humility? Because I do think if we can stay humble through this process, I think there's a much higher likelihood that it'll actually, you know, take kind of thing. But what's been helpful for you in this to kind of keep close accounts and stay humble?
Yeah, I think there's so many ways I could answer that. I think one of the ways is Dave setting the tone. He paints a picture of somebody who's been able to accomplish a ton. I mean, in our church, nationally, globally, I mean, by all measures and on all accounts, you could look at Dave's ministry and be like, man, that guy, he's done so much incredible work, but he's just so humble. And just a regular guy. I mean, my wife and I often joke, like our goal is to bring normal back to church leadership. Like we're bringing normal back, baby. Like we are normal
people. I love it. I love it. Yes. True.
Why do we have to pretend like we're not normal people? Like I'm deeply committed to Jesus. I'm deeply committed to my wife. I'm deeply committed to the ministry of the church, to preaching, to learning, to growing, to all of those things, to the spiritual disciplines. But I'm not, you know, anything other than a normal person who's deeply committed to those things.
Right.
And so I think the example of Dave and just saying that on the outset, like I never try to be a superhero. I never set myself up to be that. I think that is so dangerous. And another piece of it that I think is really key is like, of course, relationship with Jesus, like you mentioned. I'm going to talk about some of the other things. Is your commitment to team, I think, is really key. You, I believe, cannot be a really good team leader and create a really good team culture if you are not humble. I think you could be really successful, and you might have some teams that do successful things, but I would argue, you know, your team culture is probably not what you think it is if you're not a humble person. I love team. I believe that our teams are going to end up with better decisions, better sermons, better everything than I could produce on my own. I genuinely believe that.
Right.
So what place would pride have in that world?
Yeah.
Of course, pride is something we all struggle with. I'm not, my life isn't absent of pride by any means. But if pride were to poke its head out in a meeting, we're so team-centric and we have such incredible people on our staff team here, I think they'd be like, all right, big guy, like, why don't you sit back then?
Yeah, that's good. Our that's good, dude.
Our culture will
The culture would reject that. Yeah, it would reject that. It would be like, that's not who we are. Yeah, that's not who we are.
No, like somebody trying to build their brand, things like that in our culture, it's like, yeah, that doesn't fly here.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, that would be, as an outsider, that has been my experience with both Dave and John. Like I bumped in, well, I was talking to both of them. We just, you know, we're recording this the week after Exponential and bumped into both of them. And Dave, I've had a fair amount of interaction back and forth with. John, I really haven't. And like, he stops me in the hallway and is like, hey, Rich, and like shakes my hand. And I was like, what? Like, how do you know me? Like, what is, you know, what's that connection? And, you know, he doesn't need to go out of his way to like say hi, right? Like, you need to do that. But you know, and obviously he's got, those guys have got a million other things going on and a thing like that. Man, that's great. What about on the, you know, bad, missing, confusing? We'll lump that all together. Stuff that maybe like, hey, early on, here's some stuff we're working through. You know, that, you know, we're taking a bit to adjust to as we're, you know, as we're going through the process.
Yeah. I mean, I'll speak to that one personally, because I think that's been the hardest part, honestly. We're in a phase right now where I have been wearing a bunch of different hats, as often happens in a church context. I'm sure all of you listening right now, many women working in the church. My hunch is that most of you wear multiple hats. That's how we operate too, being entrepreneurial as a community. We maybe wear more hats than what would be typical in a different culture. And so I'm wearing a bunch of hats and now I'm putting on more hats.
Yeah.
And I'm not yet where I'm able to take
how many hats can I get?
I look like one of those carnival people selling hats, honestly. You know, like I've got all the hats.
Yes.
And if you want a hat, like come into the hat. Like I'm going to be dishing out hats.
Okay. But,
that's been the hardest part. I'm in like what I think and hope will be the most strenuous time-wise season of the transition in these middle sections of the apprenticeship process, which I anticipated would be the case, but I think I underestimated how I would feel in this time. And so for me, that's the thing that is the hardest that I'm actively working on right now. And actually coming out of Exponential, that was kind of a light bulb for me where I was like, okay, I've accepted this storyline that I need to do these things right now. What if I don't? Like, what if there are parts of what I'm doing that I actually need to hand off sooner, or we need to stop doing sooner than what we had planned? And so that's like the rough and gritty middle of the process that I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything is wonderful, but it is not, I am not operating at a sustainable pace at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm peeling back, and it will take some time, but I'm definitely committed to it. And now I'm saying it to you and to whoever's listening. So you guys feel free to send me an email and say, hey, Ted, did you actually follow
through? Did you do that? Like, did you
give me some accountability?
Yeah. Exactly. That's great. That's so good. Well, I can see that. That makes sense. There's like I think the idea of a pinch point here, like we're in a transition going across a bridge and it's like, hey, things are going to be a little bit overwhelming, you know, on the kind of personal human side, that is that could be a recipe for things to go sideways, right? Because it's like, hey, things are busy, and are you doing anything different in this season to kind of stay connected, pace yourself to try to, you know, or is that what you're identifying? Like, I got to get more of that in my life. What are you doing to try to keep tend to your soul in the midst of that kind of transition?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I have a pretty robust kind of personal, I don't know what you want to call it, infrastructure around me, or scaffolding around me, maybe is a better way to put it. And I think in this season of transition, I've amped up some of the scaffolding that I don't think will be like permanent for me moving forward, but it's a helpful as I'm building in this crucial stage. So, I mean, I've got a group of other lead pastors that I like, who are my dear friends that live in the area here. We're friends on mission together. We can share anything and everything. That's really, really important. Another part of like creating a culture of humility that actually helps me in this is I will share this with my team. So I'm not hiding this from anybody. If somebody comes and asks me how I'm doing, I'll tell them this.
Exactly.
The people who are reporting to me right now, I say, hey, I just want to apologize to you. I feel like I haven't been present as I need to be and as you need me to be in this season. And I'm wrestling in this in between to try to figure that out. So can you give me some grace in this as we're moving forward? Because I might need a little bit more room than than we would want, than either of us would want in any other circumstance. And so just putting it all above board, not trying to appear like I've got all of it on my back and I have, this is all perfect. It's like, things are going great. Like I do feel good, but I know I can't keep this pace long-term. So those are some things. And then my mornings are really important to me. That's my space before the kids wake up. You know, my wife and I have a pretty regimented morning. We get up real early. You know, exercise is a part of that. Our quiet time is a part of that. Our connection is a part of that. Just for us, we have three young boys, 14, 11, and 8.
Right.
If we don't do it then, it's just not going to happen. So that's a big part of it.
So good. You know, in Warren Bird and William Vanderblumen's book Next, where they talk about pastoral succession, one of the things, there's lots of great insights in there. You know, but one of them that struck me as like so practical, but like a kind of a stumbling point in these successions is oftentimes the lead pastor who is transitioning out, they don't have anything to do once they transition out. They don't have like, and part of what they coach there is like, they need to get a hobby. Like they need to find, you know, now Dave, this is not the problem. That Dave, you know, has this like, you know, I can't keep, he's got a lot of hats, right? Like he's got new things, exponential, he's got a lot of different things going on. How are you guys thinking about the kind of, how does the post-transition, you know, your connection, community's connection with new thing, with exponential, how does all that fit together? Because, you know, I think there's lots of opportunity and there's good things there, but, you know, how are you navigating the kind of local mission of community to reach the Chicagoland area versus, you know, the church's connection as a teaching hospital, frankly, for lots of other, you know, other churches? What's that look like for you?
Yeah, wow. So those of you maybe not aware, we talked a little bit about Exponential, which is a community with a cause is how we describe it. It's a collection of conferences, gatherings, equippings for church planners all around the world. And Dave is the leader, the principal leader of Exponential. There's Exponential USA, Espanol, Europe,
Australia,
Asia, you know, it's all over the world. And then there's also New Thing, which is the church planning arm of Community Christian Church, which is now its own separate entity and organization as of this last year, which has last year planted over 8,000 churches alone, helped catalyze the planting.
It's amazing.
8,000 churches amazing. In 1 year. I mean, it's incredible like what God is doing through these things.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And Dave is also the principal visionary and leader of that. So he's got a lot going on. And in God's timing here, it's really been a season where those things are what Dave can uniquely bring to the table in this season of his life and leadership as a bridge builder and as somebody who can get different leaders at the kingdom table to work for the kingdom good. Dave is uniquely gifted in that. It's really like an anointing. There's no collection of things that he has or does where you say, oh, that's how you do that. It's more like just who God has made Dave to be and the vision that he's set before him. And so definitely as we go through this transition, Dave, I think, is stepping into his season of greatest contribution and most significant kingdom impact and not one of lesser kingdom impact. It's going to look different, But I also believe that a part of what I'm stewarding here is as a community to accelerate those things as well. Mm. Maybe the best correlation to a model that people may be more familiar with if you've been around the church for a while is, and some churches still do this, and it's a wonderful thing to do, but you have like your missionary partners who maybe mm-hmm. are in this part of the world. And mm. every once in a while, they come back to the church mm. and they speak, you know, this is what's happening in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And here's mm-hmm. how we're helping people in the community and what we're doing. And we're financially supporting them. We're prayerfully supporting them. And we try to send teams. And we see, like, this is a part of what we're doing as a church. It's not just what this missionary is doing. It's mm-hmm. like, we have that, like, in spades, mm-hmm. right? It's like, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. have this amazing missionary named Dave mm-hmm. Ferguson and John Ferguson.
Yep.
And by the way, these ministries have grown out of this church.
Right.
They are us.
Yes.
And we're planting churches all over the world, and we want to be their number one financial supporter. We want to mm-hmm. be their number one people supporter, mm-hmm. their number mm-hmm. one leadership capital supporter. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. we are all in for this mission to see more new people find their way back to God. And we still believe that the best way to do that is to plant new churches. And so mm-hmm. Exponential and New Thing are our chief partners in that ministry. And we're deeply involved. I'm personally involved mm-hmm. in those things. Mm-hmm. And so Dave's role here at the church, pragmatically, he'll step into a founding pastor role mm-hmm. and he'll still be involved with me relationally. Mm-hmm. He'll still be teaching around the church, but it's almost like a chief missionary and kind of like he and Sue, it's like mom and dad, you know, it's right. like a real healthy relationship and a really beautiful thing, honestly. And there's zero part of me that feels threatened to mm-hmm. have Dave around, to have him mm-hmm. teaching, and there's zero part of Dave that feels threatened by me. That one makes more sense, you know, but.
That's funny.
But it just works because we love and respect each other and we both are cheering for the same things, you know? So that's kind of how we're seeing it.
Are you thinking, so this is like super tactical kind of nitty gritty thing, and this might not be sorted out. And so they're like, I don't know, come back and ask me in a year, but you know, post the Dave transition, is there any discussion publicly around, you know, restructuring how the leadership team works? Or is it going to be, is it literally like a one for one? You're going to plop into what, you know, kind of all the functions he used to have, you're going to plop into that? Or is there, you know, is there any kind of spread of some of the stuff he did? Or, and again, it might be too early for that conversation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll see. The bigger thing is, you know, what is this new vision that God is calling us to in this next chapter? While there are parts that we're deeply committed to and will not change, like really significant parts of who we are, like our mission and mm-hmm. our part of our culture, there are new things that we're going to be chasing. And so that structure, part of that, we'll see what best serves as we move down that road towards this new vision.
Yep.
But there are some things that we are already changing. So yeah, we're restructuring our leadership team, which actually starts next Tuesday on March 19th. Okay. And so we've been working through that with our team, and I'm sort of the impetus for that change. And Leanna Weber, who's a key member of our team here, like an executive pastor, she's going to be leading that new team. And so we're starting to implement some of the infrastructure that season of transition. Yeah, with Dave's affirmation, but with my leadership. And so that becomes, I think, the best of both worlds, where you can use the influence and the leadership capital of the last 35 years of faithfulness in Dave, but also the new vision and excitement for what's yet to come. And Dave is fully on board with all of it, where he's like, as we talk about, he's like, man, let's just do it all right now. You know,
exactly.
This is what I would want to do if I was here. Like he's as excited as I am about it.
Yeah.
And great. That really is a gift.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Ted, this has been just such a rich conversation. I've loved, like I say, it's hopefully, you know, we could come back in a bit and kind of hear the next part of the journey. But anything else you want to share just as we wrap up today's episode?
No, I think one thing you had mentioned earlier, just kind of the who's listening in here.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably some lead pastors who are listening in who are maybe considering like what might be next for you. And then there are probably a bunch of other people who are in second and third chairs who might be working with somebody, you know, there's transition talk. I'd like to say something to them, and I'd like to say something to the younger group. So like the group that might be thinking you're nearing a transition, Yep. My encouragement to you is start talking to other church leaders right now. If you don't feel like you can talk about it publicly, that's fine. I totally understand the sensitivity of that conversation. But shoot me an email, shoot somebody else an email, like talk about how you can do this with wisdom. Yeah, so it's not just like you don't have to do the model where you just drop out and somebody else drops in. You don't have to do it that way. In fact, that might be the worst way for your church to transition. And you need to start talking to other people about how that can happen. Somebody that you trust, people that you can trust, if it's not within the context of your existing church. Mm-hmm. And then what I would say to the younger crowd who are in some of those same seats who aren't thinking about a transition yet, be thinking about how your culture sets up for a transition. Because if you are building something you want to last past you, you have to imagine what it will look like when you leave. And so if there are parts of your culture that are going to reject a transition, remove them from your culture aggressively. Part of what makes this work so well is that I don't think Dave was thinking about a transition, but he aligned our culture in such a way where a transition is received as a good thing and a healthy thing and actually something people expect, even though we never talked about it. And Dave is a younger guy. It's something that people weren't, they weren't expecting it. But when we talked about it, when I came up and Dave and I and John talked about it with the church, everybody's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it makes sense because of our culture. It wasn't like, as you think it could happen with someone like Dave. Our culture is receptive because it's a multiplying culture. And so
that's good.
I would really, really encourage the young leaders to be looking at their culture honestly through that lens.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
If it's going to receive and grow past you, you know, you got to align the culture now because it takes time.
Yeah, I love that. I know, you know, I've talked with a number of folks that are in those placement, you know, different placement companies, and I heard the term recently, a crash landed succession, where there are these like it sounds exactly how it sounds, right? They show up to the you know, those organizations, and it's like, we, you know, it's like a board chair or something from a church. And it's like, our lead guy just told us he's leaving in 6 weeks. He's been here for 35 years. We have no way to, we don't know where to start. And I was like, that is terrifying. Like that's tough, man. And so, what a great word, you know, particularly on that side for leaders to, you know, raise the banner and say like, hey, let's talk about it. Let's engage with it. That's really, really good. Well, Ted, I really appreciate your generosity. I appreciate your humility and you know, just jumping on the call and talking it through with us today. Really, really appreciate that. If people want to connect with you or with the church, where do we want to send them online? Where's kind of the best place for that?
Yeah, you can just check out my email, tedcanaris@communitychristian.org. You could send me an email. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And then communitychristian.org, that's our website. You can check us out there, connect any way through there. Feel free to shoot me an email, check out our website, check us out online, whatever you need. And we love to help churches and we love to help churches think about multiplication and planting, and, you know, multiplying discipleship. So if there's any way that we can help you with that, not that we have all the answers, but, we love talking about it and helping, and you can join the community of us trying to figure that out.
That's great. Thanks so much, Ted. Appreciate being here today.
Hey, thanks, Rich. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Unseminary Podcast. Drop by unseminary.com for more helpful resources for you and your team. There you will find articles, online courses, and so much more. Unseminary, stuff you wish they taught in seminary. Presented by CDF Capital. Visit them at cdf.capital/unseminary.